All right, I want to begin by expressing our thanks to Brother Lewis and Miss Ashley for the work they do with those kids on Wednesday night. That is a tremendous blessing. Those kids get excited to come to Patch Club on Wednesday night, and they work hard to become a minnow or a plankton or a jellyfish, and we appreciate the excitement that's given there. I also appreciate the teens, Isaiah and Aaron, Kara and Bri, that work with those kids downstairs. They have sacrificed, so to speak, their Wednesday night teen class to work with those kids down there in the Patch the Pirate Club. And they would like to have their teen class back. But to do that, they've got to have their teen director back. And right now, he's teaching the Patch Club downstairs. So he and I have been praying that God would raise up someone to take that Wednesday night kids program downstairs so that he and Ashley can return to the teen class so those teens can have their class back. So some things that we're praying for, some things we'd like to adjust. We're thankful when we can fill the holes and do what we can, but we are praying that we can move forward in that also so we can minister to our teens as well as to the kids downstairs. So if you would help us pray about that. Open your Bibles this morning, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter 3, the book of 1 Samuel and chapter 3. The thought of revival is heavy on my heart. I'm preaching on Sunday evenings. We started last Sunday. We'll continue tonight and next Sunday night. 20 questions on revival. I made the statement, and it's not original for me, that revival is not churches filled with people, but people filled with God. And yet in turn, when people are filled with God, the churches get filled with people. As I thought about the revival coming up, I thought about preaching messages that would prepare our hearts for revival. We can't schedule a revival. You understand, God just isn't that kind of a God that we can tell Him what He's going to do and when He's going to do it. I have been reading this week the Lewis Awakening, the great revival in the Hebrides Islands south of Scotland. Duncan Campbell is the fellow that said, the quote that I gave you, that a revival is not churches filled with people, but people filled with God. And he witnessed that revival in those isolated islands, very unpopulated or low-populated islands back in 1949 to 1952. And as I've been reading that book, I've just been smitten with the fact that we really need revival. Here in America, we really need revival. We've got the routine down. We come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival meetings, missions conferences. We have devotions at home. We do our daily Bible reading. But to be honest with you, if the Spirit of God left tomorrow, and I don't mean to be facetious when I say this, but if the Spirit of God left tomorrow, we could pretty much go on and function. We could still have church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We could still have our devotions. But it wouldn't be Spirit-filled. And a lot of times, what we're doing is not. We really need to desire revival. And as I thought about this, my mind was drawn back to a message that I have preached previously. So some of you might think this sounds a little bit familiar, but it won't be altogether the same thing. But this is just one thing that's permeated my thought over the last couple of weeks as I've been personally focusing on wanting and desiring revival. And that text is in 1 Samuel chapter 3, and we're going to read the first 10 verses here this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down. And it shall be, if he shall call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for a Bible that we can turn to. And God, when we have questions, when we need information, Father, the Bible has the answers. God, I pray this morning you would use this text and use the entirety of Scripture this morning to impress a thought upon our minds as we pray and prepare for a revival meeting coming up in a couple of weeks. Lord, if we wait till that Friday to say, oh, it's revival time, God, revival won't come. Lord, if we begin now to prepare our hearts and to pray, Lord, maybe, just maybe, we could see a touch from heaven. It might happen before the revival, it might happen after the revival, but God, it won't happen unless our hearts are prepared to hear from you. So Lord, I pray you take this time this morning, these brief few minutes, help us, God, to get something from your word that would focus in our mind and our heart to get us settled on the area of revival in our own hearts and lives. Bless your word, God, if should there be one today that's without Jesus Christ in their heart in this auditorium today, Lord, their greatest need is to meet the God that loved them so much that he gave his only begotten son for their sins. Speak to that heart today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, you know the story in chapter 2, Hannah, Samuel's mother, had prayed for a child. She had been barren. She went to the altar and she prayed. The priest Eli saw her praying. Thought she was drunken, saw her lips moving, but no voice coming out, and he made an assumption, which was an incorrect assumption. Went over, began to chastise her for that, and she spoke and said, I'm not a woman given to wine, that's not my problem. I'm praying that God would give me a child. And the priest said, God give thee the desire of thine heart. Wasn't much after that that she conceived. Hannah conceived. And she bare a son, and she brought him to the temple in 1 Samuel chapter 2. She brought him to the temple and gave him to the Lord. She allowed Eli to raise him in the temple so he could be raised in the things of God. But he did not yet know the Lord. He was yet a young man. On the night in question in 1 Samuel chapter 3, Samuel had gone down to lay down to sleep as he did every other night. But as he laid in his bed, he heard a voice. You'll notice the first time he answers it twice. In verse number 4, the Lord called Samuel and he answered, Here am I. He answered from his very bedroom because he thought the voice was so close and so real that it had to be in his room. And he said, Here am I. When he realized nobody was in the room, it says in verse 5, he ran to Eli. And he said to Eli, Here am I. Because he thought, well, it wasn't in my room. It must be Eli. He's the only one here in the temple. So he ran into Eli's room and he said, Here am I. And Eli said, I didn't call you. Go back and lay down. The second time that voice said to him the same thing, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli again the second time. Eli's a little slow on the uptake here. He said, Samuel, go back and lie down again. The third time it happened. He said, You go and lay down if he speaks to you again. Say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went back and he laid down. Again, that voice came, this time calling his name out twice. Samuel, Samuel. He'd been instructed to say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth, but he did not know the Lord. So he simply replied, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Bible tells us in verse number 11 that the Lord said unto Samuel. Not going to go ahead and read what he said. That's not the gist of what I want you to understand, that the Lord said unto Samuel. Samuel, that night in his bed, in the quietness, in the darkness, in the silence, in the solitude of the moment, heard the voice of God. Can you imagine hearing the voice of God? Look at Psalm 29. So hard not to get sidetracked. This wasn't planned, but I can't help it. Look at Psalm 29. Psalm chapter 29. Verse number 3. Psalm 29 verse 3, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. Don't you understand that night as Samuel laid in that bed in the darkness and heard that voice? It could have blown him right out of the bed. The voice of the Lord thundereth. We think of Saul on the road to Damascus. When that voice said to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Verse 3, the voice of the Lord. Verse 4, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Seven times here in Psalm 29, it makes reference to the voice of the Lord. The fourth time in verse 5, the voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Verse 7, the voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. Verse 8, the voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. Verse 9, the voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve. Samuel heard this voice as he laid in bed that night. He heard the voice of God. That begs the question, have you ever heard the voice of God? Has God ever spoken to you? The voice of God is not uncommon in Scripture. All the way back in Genesis, we hear God speaking to Adam. Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree that's in the midst of the garden, thou mayest not eat thereof, for the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. God spoke directly to Adam as much as I'm speaking to you right now. As clearly as it was. Like two people having a conversation. He heard the voice of God. That voice of God was given to him to warn him of things he should not do. Have you ever heard the voice of God? Have you ever heard God speaking and warning you? No, don't do that. No, that's not right. God spoke to Adam shortly thereafter. As Adam was hiding in the garden, thinking he could hide from God. And God said to Adam, where art thou, Adam? God didn't ask Adam where he was because God didn't know. God asked Adam where he was because he wanted Adam to realize, you've never hid from me before. Have you ever been guilty of hiding from God? Have you ever been guilty of trying to cover up something you did that wasn't right to do and you heard the voice of God ask you about it? How about Cain over in Genesis chapter 4? As God approached Cain and he said, where is thy brother Abel? Cain heard the voice out there in the countryside where he'd slain his brother, beat him to death. And God said to Cain, he said, the blood of thy brother crieth out to me from the ground. Where is thy brother? Cain heard the voice of God in condemnation of his sin, in conviction of his wrongdoing. Have you ever heard the voice of God? After having committed some act, I'm sure it wasn't murdering your brother. But the Bible says that he that hateth his brother hath murdered him already in his heart. You ever had God speak to you in a time where you resented someone or despised someone or envied someone and God came and spoke to you and said, that's not right? Have you ever heard the voice of God? Noah heard that voice. In a day where all the world was in wickedness, God came to him and he said, Noah, I want you to take an ark. I want you to take some gopher wood and I want you to take some pitch and I want you to make an ark. God spoke directly to Noah. Gave him instruction, gave him direction. Terrible judgment was about to come, and God wanted to do something through Noah. So he spoke to him and gave him instruction on what he was to do. Have you ever heard the voice of God? Has God ever given you direction? Maybe changed the plan, said, hey, this is not what I want you to do. I want you to do that. Have you ever heard the voice of God? If you can't at this point already say yes, can I ask you a question? Why not? The problem's not with God. He's speaking. Why can we not say when it was a time of challenge, when it was a time of encouragement, when it was a time of conviction, why can't we say, I look back at that time and I say, yes, beyond any doubt, I heard the voice of God. God spoke to me. That's the way God works. Let's move ahead just a little bit. We're looking in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Here's a young boy, a young man, laying in his bed at night, the lights off, not worried about the monster under his bed, but hearing a voice, as clear as if it was, he thought it was Eli, as clear as if it was ringing out in the room that day. He heard the voice of God, wanting to deliver a message to him, wanting to give him a warning about Eli and Eli's sons that he later faithfully delivered. But he got that message from the voice of God. What if Samuel had not heard that voice that night? The story would be different. The account would change. But thank God there was a young boy that night that heard the voice of God. We move forward a little farther. We see at the end of the book of Job, as Job has just suffered the indignities of not only his physical anguish, but his three closest friends berating him and pointing the finger at him as being at fault for the reason he's got this sickness. God comes down in those closing chapters, rebukes those three friends. Even rebukes to a certain degree Elihu, the young man that came in afterward. And then speaks personally to Job to challenge him in trusting God. Where were you when I made the foundations of the world? Job, if you've got all the answers, tell me about the circle of the earth. Tell me about the creatures that were created. Tell me about the astronomy that's up there. And all the planets and the suns and the galaxies and all that. If you know so. And Job heard God speak to him directly and challenge him about areas of his faith. Have you ever had God do that to you? You ever been in a weak part in your spiritual life or a challenge in your life or a struggle in your life of faith? And during that time said, God, I want to hear from you. And God spoke to you. I think of Jonah. There he was that night, minding his own business, laying in his bed. And the Lord said to him, arise, go to Nineveh, and preach against it the preaching that I bid thee. He heard the voice of God. He didn't like it. You know the story about how he ran from it and God turned things around and he ended up doing what he should have done. But he heard the voice of God. It's a common thing for people in the Bible to hear the voice of God. Has God changed? Or is he the same yesterday, today, and forever? Has God done away with his plan of speaking to the hearts of his people? Speaking to the ears of his people? Speaking to the minds of his people? He's the same God. The God that spoke to Adam, to Cain, to Noah, to Samuel, to Job, to Jonah. How about Mary? We go over into the New Testament. Hail, thou that art highly favored. That which is conceived in thee is of the Holy Ghost. The Lord spoke to Mary. Joseph, his dream at night, being warned about what was to happen. Have you ever heard the voice of God? I think of Saul. I already mentioned that in Acts chapter 9. Saul on the road to Damascus with letters in his hands to go and catch prisoners and catch Christians and throw them in jail. And yet the Lord came down and knocked him off the back of that donkey to the ground. Saul looked up to the ground, and as sure as he's living, sitting there, he looked up and he heard a voice say, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Saul said, who art thou, Lord? He didn't know who it was, but he knew whoever it was had to be Lord. To have done what he just did, knock him off the ground. The Bible says that the men that were with him heard not the voice. Remember that, mark that down. I'm still in the introduction. The men that were with him heard not the voice. They thought that it thundered. But Saul heard clear as day. Saul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Saul heard the voice of God. I think of John on the Isle of Patmos. There at that penal colony. He'd been sent there because he wouldn't shut up about the Lord. And so they sent him out, the Roman powers that be sent him out to that secluded island so he could get out there and they could shut him up. And instead, you know what God did? God brought him up. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and God brought him up and spoke to him the rest of the book of Revelation. Talk about failing to shut somebody up. He wrote something down that's now lasted for 2,000 years. And the Lord spoke to John. John saw him. He heard the voice of God. Old Testament, New Testament, they heard the voice of God. Have you heard the voice of God? Has God ever spoken to you? If not, can you ask yourself this question? Why not? How can all these people have heard the voice of God, yet I've never heard it? I read the story recently of a man named Nick Ripken. Nick Ripken was a Kentucky country boy. In his years growing up, he grew up on the farm. He worked with animals all the time. So when he got into high school, without any other direction in life, he decided to be a veterinarian. He applied to the University of Kentucky, and he got a scholarship, a full-ride scholarship, to the University of Kentucky to be a veterinarian. The last 9 weeks of his senior year, his dad got him a job at the local Kraft cheese plant so that he began to save money for personal expenses while he went off to school. So the last 9 weeks of his senior year of high school, he went to school all day, then went into work at 5 o'clock, worked till 3:30 in the morning, then went home, slept for a little while, got up and went back to school, did that for 9 weeks. Then when the summer came, he went working there full time so he could save up enough money. He was about 6 weeks before he was ready to go to university in Kentucky and enroll in his classes. And he was working one night there at the craft plant. He was in the back part of the plant. No one else was around him. And he was putting lids on 50-gallon barrels as they were putting the crude or whatever it is in there that they ship off to make the cheese at another factory. He was packaging that. It's late night. He's all by himself when he heard a voice that said, "When are you going to stop running?" And he gives the account that he turned around and looked and thought, sure, somebody in, so some of his fellow workers were around there somewhere. He had no idea what they were talking about, but he looked around to see who it was that spoke to him. He couldn't see anybody, so he went back to work, only to hear a second time, "When are you going to stop running?" He put down the lid. He had goosebumps at this point because he didn't know what was going on. And he went and walked around, searched the immediate area to find out who was speaking to him, and he couldn't find anybody there. But he was highly agitated and troubled. He went back to that container, putting the lids back on, and a third time he heard the voice, "When are you going to stop running from me?" He knew immediately who that voice was. And he fell on his knees in that factory in Kentucky. Fell on his knees and gave his heart and his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives testimony that that was the night not only of his salvation, because he'd been running from it, but the night of his call to service for God. For the next 34 years, Nick Ripken was a missionary to Malawi, to South Africa, and for 25 years in Somalia. When Somalia was a very, very difficult place to minister. Nick Ripken is still alive. He travels now and speaks in churches, gives testimonies of the work of God in that 1040 window behind the curtain in those persecuted places. But here is a man, not in the Old Testament, not in the New Testament, but a man in our days. In fact, that event I just gave you happened in 1984. And he heard the voice of God. I want to give you three things this morning. Now I'm done with the introduction. I want to give you three things that are necessary as far as I read in the biblical account to hearing the voice of God. Something that stands out in all these accounts. Now there might be exceptions in some of them, but something that seems very clear to me as to when God spoke to them and why many times we don't hear the voice of God. Look there in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Samuel had been brought by his mother Hannah to the temple to serve in the temple. During the days as a young man, I'm sure he wasn't entrusted with the actual service of the priests and the lighting of the candles and things that they did back then, but he at least was a servant to those that were serving in the temple, and he had a busy schedule. From first thing in the morning till sunset at night, he had to go about the service of the temple. And it wasn't till evening time that the Lord came to Samuel when he had laid down upon his bed. And he spoke to him. Look at a verse, if you would, in Psalm chapter 46, or Psalm 46. Look at verse number 10. Psalm 46 and verse 10. Psalm 46 and verse 10. I'm giving you time because I want you to see it. Psalm 46 verse 10. Look at the first words of this verse. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. You know why many times I believe we can't hear the voice of God? We're too busy. Too many things have our attention. Too many things demand our responsibility. Now let's be honest, this life is a busy life. If you're not busy, you're bad. Because life is a busy life. But here's the problem. Life is so busy that we don't hear the voice of God. Where was Samuel that night? He was laying in bed. He was in the darkness. He was in the solitude. He was laying there with nothing else to do at that time. And during that moment, God was able to speak to him. I would propose to you and I, we need to make some time in our day that we just be still. Now I know you're gonna have to carve out some time because you've got a busy schedule. But we need to find time in our day where we stop everything for a few minutes and ask God to speak to us. How many voices do we hear during the time of a day? I don't have any statistics. I did not try to look that up. But I wonder how many words, how many voices. I was at a class recently where they told me that every day we have an interruption every 11 minutes. Every 11 minutes something will interrupt whatever it is that we're doing. We have a busy day and a busy schedule and one thing after another. And most of the time, we're too busy to be still and let God show us that He's God. You know why it's so important in the morning or in the evening or whatever time you can set apart to sit down in a chair or somewhere and just sit down and shut everything else out and read your Bible? You know why that's so important? Because that's when God speaks. We need to hear the voice of God, but we can't hear it when we're busy running to and fro. We think that being busy is being spiritual. Being busy is a necessity. It's good. It's good. I understand that. But what's more important, being busy or hearing the voice of God? Now, I'm not promoting laziness and slothfulness. I'm not promoting a monastery where we go and take a vow of silence and listen. No, we're in this world. We're not to be isolated from this world, but at the same time, we need to hear the voice of God. You need to hear the voice of God. You hear the voice of the sportscaster. You hear the voice of the newscaster. You hear the voice of your family and your friends and your coworkers and your employers. You hear the voice of everything else. You know, there's a voice far more important than any of those that we don't focus on listening to. And then our life just kind of plateaus and goes on, and we do everything we're supposed to do as a Christian because we know what to do. But we never hear the voice of God. Where was Cain when God spoke to him out in the field all by himself? Where was Noah when God gave him the directions? It appears that he was all by himself. Nobody else was around. Where was Jonah when God said, arise, go to Tarshish? Jonah was there by himself. Where was Saul when he fell? Well, he had some people around him, but none of them heard it. It was just him. Where was John when he heard the voice? Out on the Isle of Patmos. You see where they were? They were somewhere where they were still and they were focusing and they were listening. It says of John, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And he heard the voice of God. If you want to hear the voice of God, you're going to have to make some time to be still. Be still and know that I am God. Would you make time between now and our revival 2 weeks from now? Would you plan? Would you schedule your day? Would you plan your day with some time designated in there to just be still and let God speak? Notice something else in 1 Samuel in chapter 3. Samuel, because he was isolated, so to speak, he's in his room by himself. When God spoke, He could speak because Samuel was silent. You understand, a lot of times God can't speak because we're too busy talking. We're too busy. Prayer is a necessity. It's an important thing. But prayer is communication with God. You know, in communication, one person can't dominate. One person can't be the only one talking to have a conversation. And too many times when we go to prayer, we think, well, God just wants to hear my voice. Well, He does. But you also should want to hear His. And to do that, there's got to be some silence. In all the noise of the world that's around us and everything demanding our attention. Folks, you realize the reason I went through all these accounts, this guy and this guy and this guy and this guy and this guy heard the voice of God. In the world we're living in with the competing voices that want our attention, we're not going to hear the voice of God until we're silent. Until we stop long enough to hear God's voice. Now again, I'm not talking about walking around with a vow of silence, but I'm talking about giving God time to speak. Look if you would over at 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. Verse number 11. I want you to think about this. This is Elijah under the juniper tree. You're familiar with the story. In the previous chapter, Elijah had just had a mountaintop experience. He had been on the top of the mountain competing against, I guess that's the right word, competing against the prophets of Baal. He was trying to get the nation of Israel to turn their hearts back to God. The prophets of Baal built an altar, cried out to their God, to send fire upon the altar. It didn't happen. Elijah repaired the altar they had broken down by dancing and jumping up and down upon it. He repaired the altar and he prayed a very short prayer asking God to show himself that he is the God of heaven and earth, the God of Israel. And God sent down fire upon that sacrifice. And the people all declared, the Lord, He is the God. There was a great victory that day, but following that great victory was a great depression. And Elijah ends up in chapter 19 sitting under a juniper tree saying, oh, woe is me. And God comes and speaks to him. While he's sitting under that tree, not busy, being still, and being silent, God comes and speaks to him. What doest thou here, Elijah? And he takes Elijah up to a mountain. Look if you would in chapter 19 verse 11. And he says, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. Here a hurricane comes across. He's standing in the cleft of the mountain. A wind comes so straight that it's blowing some of the rocks from the mountain away. But God's voice wasn't in that. Now, it could have been. We read Psalm 26. It sure could have been, but it wasn't. It says at the end of verse 11, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. Verse 12, and after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. You know why we need to be quiet? We need to be silent so we can hear the voice of God. Sometimes that voice is a whisper. Sometimes He's saying, don't do that. Sometimes He's saying, do this. Sometimes He's saying, watch out about that. Sometimes He's saying, here's something I'd like you to do. It's not going to be in a loud shouting voice like we hear in the world around us. It's not going to be a voice of anger. It's not going to be a voice of trying to convince us He's right. It's going to be a still, small voice. And we're not going to hear it if we're not silent. I'm reminded of going to the Capitol in Washington, D.C. and standing in the rotunda up at the top of that tower. All the paintings are all around there, the artwork from American history. And it's a wonderful experience if you've ever been there to look at all those paintings that are there. The baptism of Pocahontas. All the great events of our history, and it's got a very spiritual intonation to it. For those that want to dispute or deny the heritage of our nation, you can't walk in the Capitol Rotunda and look at all the pictures and the statues that are there and deny that God's hand of blessing was upon this nation and that people recognized it. To deny that is insanity. To go up the Washington Monument and climb those steps and see all the scripture verses posted everywhere. But you go in that rotunda and they so designed it so that you could speak at a whisper and you could hear it anywhere in that place. They demonstrated that to us while we were there. Someone went over in one corner of it and whispered and put the rest of us over here and we could hear it as clear as a bell. But you know why we could hear it? Because everybody else shut up. If you go over there and the people next to you are talking and all that, you're not going to hear that small. Even though it's designed for you to be able to hear it, you're not going to be able to hear it if the people around you aren't quiet enough to pick it up. A lot of times we don't hear the voice of God because we're not silent long enough to listen. Have you heard the voice of God? To hear it, you have to be still. To hear it, you have to be silent. One other thing in 1 Samuel chapter 3, here's Samuel all alone, in his bedroom, in the temple, when he hears the voice of God. He's solitary. Now, solitary is not just a card game. Solitary means being all alone. And here's Samuel sitting in that room, all by himself. It's silent. He's still. He's solitary. He's in a prime position for God to speak to him. You and I have to put ourselves in prime positions for God to speak to us. I'm thankful he can speak in a crowd. I'm thankful that his voice can thunder. But I appreciate when he speaks to me. I appreciate it when he talks to me. When he gives me comfort. When he gives me conviction, when he gives me challenges, I'm thankful when he speaks to me. Has God spoken to you? Have you heard the voice of God? Look at Matthew chapter 6, if you would. Matthew chapter 6, as we think about this thing of being solitary. Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's Sermon on the Mount. Speaking about communicating with God, talking about prayer. He says in verse 5 of Matthew 6, and when thou prayest, notice he doesn't say, and if thou prayest, but when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. You understand the Bible's not teaching you that to pray you've got to go into a literal closet and shut the door behind you. But it's emphasizing the necessity of personal, private communication with God. That when you and I bow our heads and pray, we are talking to the God of heaven and earth. And the God of heaven and earth has promised us in His Word that when we pray, He stops and listens to us. Now, I can't comprehend that. You can't understand that. There are 7.7 or more billion people upon the face of the earth. Not the majority of them, obviously, don't pray to God. But of those that do, in the millions, if not the billions, that God can listen to each and every one of them individually anytime they pray without taking time away from someone else. I can't explain that. I just know the Bible declares it to be true. And yet we so little take advantage of that opportunity in speaking to God. When thou prayest, enter into thy closet, thy private place. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. A place to go to hear the voice of God. Doesn't have to be a closet. It can be your car. When you're traveling down the road all by yourself, that's a wonderful opportunity to commune with God. I remember the days working in secular work that I was a on-the-road salesman and had long trips between Cambridge to Marietta and Marietta across over to Athens and Athens up toward Zanesville and around a big circle I did on Thursdays. A lot of driving time in between. And what a precious time it was. I kind of envy that schedule and that time right now, that I had time in that car with no one around me. Turn the phone off, set it aside, just know, and have time to personally commune with God. That's what it takes to hear His voice. Sometimes we find those places. Sometimes those places find us. God sets us in a place like that where we're perfectly alone and quiet and silent. And God's saying, now's the time that we can talk. Now's the time that we can speak to each other. I drive my daughter to school just about every morning. It's a 20-minute ride out there. Drive her out to Antrim, drop her off, and then I have a ride by myself down here. I enjoy that 20-minute ride with her out to Antrim. It's just me and her, just the two of us. If there's something that's going on, I can talk to her about that in the car without other people around. If I need to reprove her or rebuke her, whatever it is, it's better to do that without others around, just one-on-one. And that's a very good time for us to have that daddy-daughter conversation and do that. If she needs encouragement, sometimes in the morning, it's hard getting out the door. I know none of you have experienced that. You remember your teenage years? Let's try that one. Getting out the door, and especially with me standing behind her, we got 5 minutes, we got 2 minutes, we're 5 minutes late, we need to get in the car. Get in the car and go down. Sometimes she just needs encouragement. And what a wonderful opportunity, just the two of us, to have encouragement. There's things we can do one-on-one that we can't do in a group setting. God wants to speak to you. He wants to challenge you. He wants to comfort you. He wants to convict you. He wants to do whatever He can, but He can't do it when we're surrounded all the time with things and voices and people. Samuel heard the voice of the Lord because he was still. Samuel heard the voice of the Lord because he was silent. Samuel heard the voice of the Lord because he was solitary. Take that and run down through all that those list of names I gave you back in the introduction, and almost without exception, you'll find that was true in every single one of them. They were able to hear the voice of God because they put themselves in a place and a position where God can speak. Don't feel guilty about carving out 10, 15 minutes of your day somewhere where you can just get alone in silence with God. Don't feel guilty about it. The devil will make you feel guilty. You're wasting time. You could be doing that for something. You could be doing something profitable. Not more profitable than talking to God. Have you heard the voice of God? I dare say that everybody in here has heard it. I'm not preaching to you to tell you you haven't. I think you have. You know how I know that? Because almost everybody in here, as far as I know, has given a testimony of salvation. You know the Lord is your Savior. And that couldn't have happened without you hearing the voice of God. The decision to get saved was not your decision as far as, hey, I just think I'll get saved today. But God convicted your heart. God spoke to you. And you got converted and you got saved. I hope that's not the last time you heard the voice of God. It should be there like it was for Adam. Like it was for Cain. Like it was for Jonah. Convicting them, challenging them, giving them commitments to make, having things to do, a communication with God. We live in a world where religion has kind of blinded our eyes to the reality of God. That we don't realize that God wants to have a personal relationship with us individually. We think as long as we have the church, we're okay. As long as we do those things publicly, we're okay. Where God wants to speak. Be still. Be still and know that I'm God. As we come into our revival in a couple of weeks, would you come with a hungry heart? Would you come Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night, having already made a decision to find time in your day to be still, to be silent, and to be solitary? So that when you come that Friday night and hear the preaching and the singing, God has an open, prepared heart to work in. Here's the thing, folks, and it's hard. Some of you are going to get up Friday morning of the revival. You're going to get dressed. You're going to eat breakfast. You're going to brush your teeth. You're going to go out the door, get in your car, and you're going to go to work. And your mind is going to be on work all day Friday. You'll get off at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the evening. You'll rush home. You'll eat your supper. You'll sit in a chair for a few minutes to rest up so that you can be at the church by 7 and then say, "All right, God, speak to me." And it isn't going to happen. You've been so busy all day long. God's not a God you turn off and turn on. And you can't come at 7 o'clock at night after a day like that and say, "All right, now you say, "Well, preacher, what do? Do I call off that day?" No. Do I stay home and not work? No. But you find time in your day to focus on what you know you're going for that evening. You don't make Friday's activities the focus of that day. You make the revival, meaning in the evening, the focus of that day, and you prepare. Can I ask you to start doing that right now? 2 weeks in advance? Not calling off, not sloughing off responsibilities or things you're supposed to do, but focusing on hearing the voice of God. Let's stand this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Will the Lord speak to your heart today and challenge you to listen for the voice of God? Make that a focus.